Are you getting enough sleep? Maybe that donut you had for breakfast was a bad idea? Is the stress of your job going to make you sick? If these are the kinds of questions that keep you up at night, maybe you should just chill out and listen to this book bite for Pretty Sure You're Fine, The Health and Wellness Guide for Hypochondriacs, Overthinkers, and Worrywarts by David Viena. David is a former journalist and author of the popular book, Calm the F Down, the only parenting guide you'll ever need. Now he brings that same irreverence and humor to the worlds of fitness, health, and nutrition, offering up the message that you're probably better off than you think you are. Here's David with five of his ideas.
Hello, I'm David Viena. I'm a former journalist, current humorist of sorts, and the author of Pretty Sure You're Fine, The Health and Wellness Guide for Hypochondriacs, Overthinkers, and Worrywarts. My hope is that my book will show you that personal wellness is within reach and, in many cases, already in your grasp, and maybe it'll also make you laugh or at least chuckle quietly to yourself. Here are five key insights. Number one, the stress of getting healthy is counterproductive. I'm sure we'd all like to think that personal health is personal, but unfortunately, it's pretty much always been a business. From the early Greek Olympians competing for bragging rights to John Kellogg's exclusive wellness spa in the 1800s to Dirk, your Peloton instructor, cheering you on, fitness has been incentivized beyond the obvious health benefits and, in most cases, monetized. So it makes sense that the gurus and experts want you to use their method or their diet, their products, all of which puts money in their pockets. To ensure that happens, they shout about how you need them to show you the path to a newer, better, even magical you. With all of that shouting, the pressure to find the right fitness plan can be downright stressful. And because stress leads to mental and physical fatigue, and can even increase hormone levels that make it harder to lose weight, it can impede your efforts. I'd call it a double-edged sword if the thought of accidentally cutting yourself didn't stress you out further. And it's entirely probable that you're okay the way you are anyway. And if someone with perfect abs and a chiseled jawline is barking at you to be better, it can understandably add stress, or at least self-doubt, to an otherwise fine day. If you decide it is time to make a change, however, I'm not saying paying for a class or a meal delivery plan or even a book is a bad move, but keep in mind that you might not land on the best technique for you right away. Exploring what works for you and what doesn't is all part of the process and will alleviate stress that can make it difficult to get healthy. The good news is improving your health, both physical and mental, can help with stress. It won't alleviate it. I mean, come on, have you read the news lately? But it can help you process stress better. Number two, find your own pace, both literally and figuratively. A number of luminaries, and even a study by Penn State, found that comparing yourself to others perceived as doing better than you can lead to poor mood and other negative results. So, don't compare yourself to that neighbor who runs 5 miles every morning, or that coworker who spends the entire lunch break at the gym. They've got their own routine, and quite frankly, no one likes a show-off anyway. If you're new to an exercise regimen, there's no way you'll match your neighbor or coworker's pace out of the gate. In fact, that's why people who try to kickstart their routine by joining a fitness boot camp often suffer injuries. Yes, coming out of a fitness boot camp worse off than when you went in is not entirely uncommon, and I'm speaking as someone who blew out both my knees at one of those places. The key to success is to be realistic about your abilities. If you want to eventually run a marathon, for example, start by walking a half mile on your exercise days. When that gets easy, add a half mile. When that gets easy, try jogging that mile, and so on. Same with dieting or even seeing a therapist. Cut calories slowly, not drastically. Understand that therapy takes months or years, not days. And ignore any ticking clock you may have set off in your brain that says you need to be in bikini shape by spring break. On that note, let's move to insight number three. Number three. Focus on routine, not goals. If pulling yourself out of a mental funk or losing 10 pounds seems overwhelming, that's because it is overwhelming, very overwhelming. But there's a way to remove all of that whelm, and that is to view your chosen path or paths to improvement as a journey, not a destination. You see, self-improvement of any kind will never look like a smooth graph. It'll likely look like the jagged peaks and valleys of a hellish, Tolkien-esque mountain range that thwart the mission of the rugged fellowship in their quest to... Hang on, I'm getting off track. To bastardize another writer, the course of true wellness never did run smooth. So, if you solely focus on the goal you've set, it's sometimes easier to get discouraged. That finish line will sometimes be obscured by perfectly normal setbacks. Like, if you step on a scale and discover you've not only not lost any weight, but have actually gained a pound or two, you may feel the undeniable urge to throw the scale from your balcony and scarf down that leftover mac and cheese in the fridge. But if you understand that the routine, daily self-care, is the real goal, you're more likely to stick with it. And you may see this technique as fooling yourself, but it's not like you're claiming something crazy like you're the reincarnation of Elvis or that you won an election that you very, very clearly lost. No, focusing on the process rather than the end just redirects your attention on the important part, the work. Number 4, trust your gut. I don't care what your gut looks like, you can usually trust it. If you feel okay, chances are you're okay. And I don't mean anyone who hears this is completely safe and well. I mean, you'll likely find my book on a coffee table at your former college roommate's house during an awkward party for the launch of his podcast. Please don't skip a doctor visit because of it. But in a broad sense, you can trust your body to let you know if you need a change, and if your body ain't sending that signal, that's fine. Let's say you get winded bringing in the trash can or walking the dog, though. Or maybe you feel depressed in the evenings, almost like clockwork. There's a very good chance you aren't surprised by this. Not only that, it's also a fair bet that you know you need to deal with it. And while it may feel better to have someone else be the one who suggests you take better care of yourself, you know better than any drinking buddy or yoga classmate, even if that yoga classmate has been dead on about what's coming up on Real Housewives of Atlanta. No matter how much you insist that you can flawlessly belt out Adele songs during karaoke, you know when you're lying to yourself. So, if you feel like there's a need to improve your mental or physical wellness, you're probably right. And if that voice is the nagging one you try to numb with bad habits, you know that's the voice to which you should be listening. And that leads us to the last insight. Number 5, accept that you might need help. Now, if I've sounded flip, I certainly don't mean to. Making a change in your life can seem scary, especially because some problems really are out of our control. Maybe your doctor warned of a health issue, or you're concerned about some kind of addiction, or maybe you just can't seem to get motivated. Admitting that you need help from someone else is not a weakness, but actually a pretty powerful move. To put it in perspective, let's look at a version of seeking help you've almost surely tried already. Not everyone can fix the engine in, say, an 88 Dodge Aries LE sedan, or butcher a whole cow, or perform back surgery, not successfully anyway. Those are jobs for which you'd seek someone's help. So, consider that when you join a yoga class, or have a workout partner, or even a friend with whom you commiserate over parenting challenges, heck, even Dirk the Peloton instructor, you are letting someone help you. They're guiding you, assisting you, encouraging you. And that's great, because experts say having a workout pal or coach increases your drive, voicing your frustration to peers or friends helps alleviate stress, and quite honestly, attempting some of those yoga poses without a pro in charge could lead to a pulled hammy. As I wrote in my book, seeking professional help is self-care. You just need to apply it to yourself instead of just your 88 Aries. Okay, those are my 5 insights. Thanks for listening. I hope you found them informative and entertaining. If you did, you'll dig Pretty Sure You're Fine, the health and wellness guide for hypochondriacs, overthinkers, and worrywarts. If not, maybe give it a shot anyway.
Thank you, David. That was David Viena with 5 big ideas from Pretty Sure You're Fine, the health and wellness guide for hypochondriacs, overthinkers, and worrywarts. If you like that, you might like How to Drag a Body and Other Safety Tips You Hope to Never Need by Judith Matloff. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a healthy, happy day.